Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. You've heard me quote my pastor so many times, how he said the scriptures are full of warnings lest we presume, promises lest we despair. And this one chapter is full of both, isn't it? Warnings and promises. I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt from God's word that we are in the last days, the very last of the last day. 2 Timothy 3 clearly describes the last days, and Paul calls them perilous time. Now, there's nothing mentioned in 2 Timothy 3 about dearth and droughts and disasters and wars. None of that's mentioned. Just talks about men being heady and high-minded and proud and so forth. Well, our Lord said this. He said, as in the days of Noah, shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, till the day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. They just weren't expecting it. Likewise, in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So he said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, when our Lord comes. Men weren't expecting it then. And what he described was prosperous times. That's what makes these days so dangerous. I believe these are the most dangerous times in the history of the world because it's such prosperous times, peaceful times. Remember 2 Thessalonians where he said, when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction. You know, when things are prosperous, when people are prosperous, they're real proud, they're real boastful. Got a lot to talk about. When there's peace, when there's no threat of war, when there's no danger, when their lives are not in danger, everybody's so cocky and heady and high-minded. Back when there were wars going on, the Second World War, everybody didn't talk so proud, did they? Everybody was afraid for their lives. They didn't know if they were going to live or die. So, we all know the story of the children of Israel, don't we? They're wandering through the wilderness, and then when they came to the promised land, and this is exactly what Noah, our Lord, warned through Moses. That's exactly what happened to them. They built their houses and they became prosperous. And idolatry, and you know, the scriptures talk so much about idols of silver and gold. That's not necessarily a statue made out of silver. It's just money that people idolize. Well, in Deuteronomy 32, this is what it says. And, you know, Deuteronomy means a rehearsal of the law, second law, or what he's rehearsing what he's already said. He's repeating. He's reminding everybody of what he's already said. And we need that. But here's what it said that the Lord found Jacob, or that is the sons of Jacob. He said, I found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. And this world is, in the scriptures, is the wilderness. That's what he's speaking of. He said, I found him in a waste, howling wilderness. Waste means worthless. Howling people. Wilderness, a wild place full of beasts, dangers. And he says he led him about, instructed him, kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wing, and taketh them and beareth them on her wing. So the Lord alone did lead Jacob, made him ride on the high places of the earth, eat the increase of the field, suck honey out of the rock, butter, milk, fat of lambs, all that the Lord did. But, went on to say, he waxed fat and got in trouble. It's so many scriptures. This is one of those passages that we need to read just often. There's so many scriptures we need to read as often as we can. 1 Corinthians 10. Go over there, 1 Corinthians 10. This is a reminder by Paul the Apostle about the children of Israel in the wilderness and how they, many of them, fell, were overthrown. There's so many scriptures we need to read constantly. Isaiah 53. Psalm 90. Psalm 91. Just on and on it goes. And this is one. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, all baptized unto Moses in the cloud, in the sea, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat. That's manna. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. So this is a necessary, a needful message, isn't it? One we need to think about and consider all the time. Now go back to Deuteronomy 8. You know the story of Israel, and it's told over and over and over, isn't it? All the way through the Old Testament. It's retold and told and in the Gospels and in the Acts. Stephen's whole message was a rehearsal of what the children of Israel went through. And in the Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews. And how many times in Hebrews does it warn us? Don't let these things slip. Don't provoke him like they did, and on and on it goes. So it's told time and time again. Israel, they were God's chosen people. God said, I didn't choose you because you were more than others, because you were great, you were less than the least. I chose you because I did. Now think of yourself here, because we feel like we're chosen people. He said, I chose you just because I did. Sovereign election. They were favored people, highly favored of God. They were pitied. The Lord pitied them, had pity on them. He is angry with the world and the wicked every day, and Israel did things just like the rest of the world, but God pitied them, had compassion on them. God delivered them. He gave them the lamb. But nobody in Egypt had a lamb. Everybody in Israel had a lamb. Because God taught them. They were redeemed. They were bought. They were taught. They were brought out. Led. Fed. Provided for. Oh, how merciful. How merciful. That's us, isn't it? So here in verse 2, this is our text. We're not going to deal with the whole chapter, but this is the theme. This is the text. Verse 2 says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Thou shalt remember. Here's some things to remember. Now, God has given us a book to remember. Malachi 3, go over there. I'm not having you turn it too much. Told the men not to have everybody turn to too many scriptures. We just can't find them. And by the time we find them, he's moved on to something else. But Malachi 3, don't you love this? And I want to be more comforting to you all tonight than I want to tell of these promises and the Lord's goodness to us than warn. But we need the reproofs and the rebukes, don't we? Verse 16, then they that feared the Lord, we do, don't we? We really do. In a world that clearly like David, that the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God for that. It's the last thing that Paul said in Romans 3, with no fear of God for that. And then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Don't you love to fellowship with one another, talk to one another? Yeah. It's not fellowship, though, if you don't talk about Christ. That's who we love to talk about, don't we? And the Lord hearken. He hears this. He hears us. He loves this. He loves those that love His Son. He will bless those that honor His Son. Yes, He will. And the Lord hearken and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before Him. God had this book written. Had men, no scriptures of any personal, private interpretation. And holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. And God had them write this for His people. A book of remembrance. For them that feared the Lord and that thought on His name. Do you think on His name? Do you? Sure you do. There's rarely a day that goes by, I'd venture to say, that there is not a day that goes by that you don't think on your Lord. Right? We're ashamed of what all else we get bogged down with and think about and talk about. We're ashamed of it, but we do think on Him. There was a time that I never thought about Him. Never gave Him a thought. Didn't you? But God. And He said, they shall be mine. They're mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And today I make up my jewels. Jewels in His crown. He's going to have a big crown, isn't he? And I will spare them. For doing what? Fearing Him and thinking on His name. Believing Him. Worshiping Him. I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth them. We serve His glory. Don't we? Really do. We really do want God to be glorified. No, no. Yes, we do. I see your, the sincerity. I see it. I hear the amens. It's just so. So the Lord has given us this wonderful book to remind us to things to remember. And chiefly, what our Lord said, this do in remembrance of me. Speaking of the Lord's table. And we're going to look at this in John 6 in a little bit. How that the Lord said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. But he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life. As I live on the Father, He said, you live on me. That's either there or it's not. So he's given us this book to remind us all the way our Savior led us. All the way, it says in our text, all the way that He led us. Now, first of all, we need to remember where He found us. Like Jacob in a waste howling wilderness. Jacob was running. Jacob was worthless. Jacob was a sorry old sinner. He only thought about himself. And he was running scared. Didn't know where he was going. He was running somewhere. We didn't know where he was going. And that was all of us, wasn't it? But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to him that night and wrestled with him. A man laid hold of him and wrestled him. And he was never the same after that. He's a changed man. He knew the Lord from that day on. And that's where the Lord found us. He found us. And let's remember where He found us. And let's remember some of the mercy and the grace of our Lord. How merciful has the Lord been to you? How gracious has the Lord been? What all has He given you? What all has He done for you? Huh? All the provisions. After the Lord was with His disciples for 3.5 years and He's leaving, He said, while I was with you, did you lack anything? And they never worked a job. They never earned a dime. He paid their taxes for them. Fish did. to prove that you're not gonna be without. You, if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. He's gonna provide everything for you, and protected them. And the children of Israel, they walked through the wilderness 40 years. And that's a type of us. Most believers, if the Lord saves them in their 30s, they live 40 years. They walk by faith for 40 years. It's about how long I've known the Lord. 40 years. I never lacked for anything. Have you? All the mercy, all the grace, all the provisions, what all He's given me, and protection. You look back on your life and see how the Lord has protected you. And you know what? You've only seen a fraction of what He's protected you from.
Yeah.
Just a fraction. Unseen. We were not wrestling with flesh and blood. Principality. Satan desires to sift God's people just like he did Job. Yes, he does. The Lord won't let him have them. We're surrounded. There are chariots of fire around us. Oh, the protection of our Lord. The truth. And when he talked about what all God had done for in the world and his creation, and then the last thing was at Psalm 105. He said he made known his word unto Jacob. He didn't do that for any other people. He made known his word. And that's what he's done for us. He's made known his truth. And that's what old Jacob said in Genesis 32 when he awoke. Jacob's prayer was this. He said, Lord, he said, I started out just me. And this is when he was going to face Esau. He said, I started out as just me. And now look. Look at all I have. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. I'm not worthy of any. He said, and the truth, all the truth that you've shown me, keeps telling us the truth. You know, God sends strong delusions to the world that they believe a lie. God does. He said, I will choose their delusions for them. Didn't he say that? And so God sends strong delusions. Wise men think they're wise. He lets them think that. Rich men think they're rich. He lets them think that. Strong men think they're strong. He lets them think that. And they trust in all these things. And in the end, it all comes crashing down. But he shows God's people the truth. The truth about things. The truth about us. The truth about Him, truth about this world, truth about Christ, our great need. He shows us the truth. This is the truth. We need Christ more than anything else.
Amen.
That's the truth. And that's what old Jacob said. I'm not worthy of all the truth that you've shown me. It keeps reminding us that here I go again. Well, good. You better hope I do. Go show John again. That's what he told those two fellas. Go back, tell John again. He knows it, but he needs to hear it again for his comfort, for his assurance. Look at our text. It says, remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. The way, all the way. My Savior leads me. What is the way that He leads His people in? Who is the way? Listen to Psalm 25. And John read Psalm 27. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Well, in Psalm 25, it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. Can I quote it again? 1 Timothy 1:15. Want me to? Okay. This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. All people don't. Well, God's people do. But Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And God shows He's good. He's upright. He shows his people Christ the way. There's a way that seems right to man. Modern man, natural man, religious man. A way that seems right. And it ends in destruction. It's the broad road that many are on, isn't it? But God's people are in a straight and narrow way, which is Christ. Let me read. Let me keep reading to you. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. The meek. What's that? People that I'm nothing. I'm a nobody from nowhere. I need to be taught. I can't do anything. I'm a follower. That's the meek. I submit. I bow. Lead me. Guide me. Direct me. The meek will he teach his way. That's Christ. And it goes on to say in Psalm 25, verse 12, it says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him will he teach in the way that he shall choose. On and on it goes. So he, remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee all these years. Christ the way. The children of Israel all came out of Egypt. How? One way. Blood. They all knew that, didn't they? They all came out. None of them died. They were all spared. Why? A lamb. Blood. All right? They all passed through. They all passed through the cloud. All those things of Christ. The cloud, it covered them. And it was darkness to Egypt, but light. All the children of Israel had light. But the world, Egypt, was in under a cloud, dark, couldn't see each other. Children of Israel could see clearly the way. Fire, fiery pillar, that's right. The fire, God's consuming fire. And they all came out by blood. They all passed through the what sea? The Red Sea. That Red Sea parted for them. That's Christ crucified, isn't it? Huh? And they walked through on dry ground. Every one of them. Says it wasn't a weak one up. Wasn't one weak person. All walked through. And they all passed clean over. How can you walk through a Red Sea and end up white on the other side? Ask Naaman. All right, the same Red Sea that the Egyptians are saved to go through destroyed them. Destroyed them. This world trods underfoot the blood of the Son of God, where the blood of Christ is going to, Christ is going to come down on them. So they all passed through the Red Sea. They all did. They all ate bread. They all ate that spiritual meat, it's called. Spiritual drink. Did you notice that? Spiritual. How could you drink something spiritual? You know. Not a person in here doesn't know. That rock is Christ. He followed him. Christ the way. So, it said, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. To humble thee. Now, here's some things that humble us. I've already said it. God's sovereign electing love ought to humble us. It does. It humbles God's people. When Abraham found out God chose him, 75 years old. Amazing. Isaac, God chose me, not Esau, not Ishmael. Jacob, I cheated my brother. We get God chose me. Lied to my father, God chose me. God's sovereign electing love. That ought to humble us. It does. God's mercy and truth. Like Jacob said, I'm not worthy of all this mercy. I'm not worthy of the least of thy favors, of all the truth. Our sins ought to humble us. Our backslidings, our wanderings, our failures. Children of Israel, most of them wanted to go back. Most of them. God wouldn't let them. You know that?
They said, let's go back. And God wouldn't let them.
Let me give you a couple of names that remind you of yourself. Gomer. How many people in the world know that story? Very few. Hosea. Ephraim. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. He's gone to his idol. Just leave him alone, God said. Let him go. And he did for a while. And boy, did he get in trouble. And then later God said, I can't give him up. Ephraim. And he put a yoke on him, didn't he? One unaccustomed to the yoke. And Ezekiel 16. The child cast out in the field. Remember where the Lord found her? It's a time of love. I passed by. I said, live. I decked you. I cleaned you. I washed you. I took you in. Live. I set my love. It's time of love. And he said, I decked you. And he said, you were beautiful through my comeliness. Okay? I made you beautiful. But you know what she did? She got lifted up with pride. Have we ever gotten lifted up with pride? Have we ever been proud about anything? I tell you what, he that walketh in pride, the Lord is able to abase. And God's people, he will. Every time he'll bring you down. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, these things humble us. Humble us. And look at the next thing. It says, he humble you and to prove thee. Know what was in thine heart. Prove thee what was in thy heart, whether his word. He kept talking about, and don't, brethren, you know, we read and talk about the law and obeying his commandments and all that. And it makes us feel so guilty. But see, Christ is our righteousness. We're not under the law. We're in Christ, okay? Christ kept the law for us. You know that. God's people, though, want to be obedient children. They were disobedient, all right? But they want to be obedient children. We are accepted by our God for the obedience of Jesus Christ. We're complete in him. We're accepted in the blood. 100%. Do you hear me? If you didn't hear me, I'll say it again. All right? When God creates a new creature, though, he makes them obedient. Let me give you a good illustration of it. My daughter was an obedient child. She loved me. Well, just a minute. She loved me. We loved her. Was she always obedient? Was she perfectly obedient? She tried to be, but she's a sinner. Okay? God's people, they want to be. They want to be. But that's, we're not trying to please him to be his sons to earn heaven just because we love the Father. You see? It's not merit. It's love. And, God, for salvation, God only accepts perfection. And Jesus Christ did that. But when his people do anything to try to please him, he's pleased. He's pleased. Aren't you? Are you more gracious and merciful than your heavenly Father when your children do things? Don't you praise them? Well done, thou good thing. Good job. Sophie has always been such a hard worker, and you know, she always wanted to help me Pawpaw out, and she would help me out. And I have to, you know, Sophie, if you hear this, this is when you're real young, but I'd have to redo what she'd done. You understand? But I would, oh, good job, honey. It just pleased me that she was obedient and Is she perfectly obedient? No. Far from it. Does that make sense? Our obedience is not to be sons. We're sons, made sons by new birth and by adoption and in Jesus Christ. Okay? Disobedience and wanting to please our Father is because we're sons. If you weren't, you wouldn't care. We live for sin. Okay? That makes sense? What's in your heart? Whether you would keep His commandment. We want to keep. Our Lord Jesus Christ has given us many, many commandments all through the Gospels and all through the epistles, hasn't it? And any man that says no is a fool. He said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Many. His commandments are not grievous. His yoke is not heavy. It's light. It's the good way. To be willing and obedient, eat the good of the land, that doesn't mean you go to heaven. It just means chasing you. What's in your heart? The Word of God in your heart? David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." Can you say that? "Order my steps in Thy law and let no iniquity have dominion over me." Don't you say that? We all do. Sure we do. That's what we want. What's in your heart? The world? These children of Israel were going through the wilderness. They were walking through the world. But they're not of the world. They're not supposed to be. Some of them were. It ended up some of them were of the world. They went back to the world. But some were not. With many of them, God was not pleased. But not all of them. And I'm looking in the face, we don't have too many people in here tonight, but I'm looking in the faces of people that want to be here. What's in your heart? I believe Christ is in your heart. I believe the truth is in your heart. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Well, he said, "He to prove thee what was in thy heart and to humble thee." And look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. It says, "He suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna." Suffered thee to hunger. You know, our Lord said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." What is righteousness? Somebody tell me. Do you know how blessed you are that you know that? Well, do you hunger? John, you read Psalm 27. That is really your heart's desire. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, inquire into His temple." You said that's one of your favorite scriptures, didn't you? I believe you mean it. Don't you? This is what we love to do. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, after Christ. Christ said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood." You eat because you're hungry. Don't you? It's a sign of life. It's a sign of life. If you lose your appetite, something's wrong. You're sick or dead. So the Lord blessed us to give us a hunger and a thirst. Over in look at verse 15. He said, "I brought you through a place of drought." What's that? Psalm that says, "My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land with no water." He brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. That's Christ crucified in it. Smite the rock, Moses. He did. That's Christ crucified. Now came water, the water of life. That woman at the well, you know, she was thirsty and didn't know it. She's trying to fulfill her thirst with husbands and things and all this stuff, whatever she can get in her water pot or in her house. And the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting on that well one day waiting on her. Of all the people, for Him to wait on. And the disciples came by later and said, "Look at who He's talking to. Does He know who He's talking to?" He sure does. He purposed to meet her before the world began. And there he is sitting waiting on her. And he made her thirsty. And she said, give me this water. Give me that water. I want that water. And when he finally spoke to her, he said, I am. Dropped a water bottle. Don't need that. Well, suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. And he said this manna and this water was to prove them. Verse 16, fed thee in the wilderness with manna that your fathers knew not. Do you see that? Most people in this room have fathers that were unbelievers. Right? And you knew not too. You didn't know. But the Lord was waiting on you. Waiting to be gracious. At the well. Everyone in here is a woman. That woman at the well. And it says he proved that he might humble thee and prove thee. And old David, you listen to this? It says to do thee good at the latter end. He's out to do you good. But this manna and this water proved the children of Israel. Proves who was hungry and who was thirsty. They ate. And I was going to have you turn to Exodus 16, but we'll do that when we get to John, if we get to John 6. All right? Description of that manna. Every one of them, when they woke up in the morning, what is it? And they ooh, that's the sweetest thing I ever tasted in my life. And they ate it for 40 years. Every day it was there. 40 years. And on the Sabbath day, all they could hold. Like you. Oh, man. But in Numbers 21, some of them said, we're tired of this light bread. Those are the ones, you see, that God is not well pleased with. You're tired of this. You want something else. And how many people want something more than Christ? This is what proves us. This is what proves God's people from pretenders. This is what separates the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff. This water of His Word, which is Christ, the water of life, and this manna, this wonderful, marvelous, sweet-tasting bread, which is Christ and Him crucified. This is what proves God's people from the pretenders. God's people never tire of hearing the gospel. This is what He meant by eating His flesh and drinking His blood. When you eat for hunger. You drink for thirst. And Christ is the only thing that can to satisfy this, the hungering soul for righteousness and the thirsty soul for the water of life. And you eat and you drink for the taste too. When you taste, they tasted that bread was so sweet. Wafers dipped in honey. David called God's word honey. Sweeter than honey in the honeycomb, he said. Job said, I esteem it greater than my necessary food. Really? Is that you? I believe it is. I hear so many amens and heads nodding, smiles, because Christ is all to His people and He's all they need. And you know, He's all we're going to have in glory. That's it. Except we're going to have the capacity to enjoy Him fully. And here's the thing, one more thing. He said, you hunger and thirst, you'll be filled. Well, all right, you eat. If you're really hungry, you just fill up, don't you? You just fill up. All right, is that all you'll eat? You don't eat again? No. You get hungry again. And so you keep coming back to the table. And hopefully there'll be bread on the table. And hopefully there'll be Christ served, because he's the only thing that will fill us. You know that? He's the only thing that will fill us with peace and joy and assurance and rest and salvation. Are you hungry for him? Look out. Stand with me.